Welcome back to Writing Fright with Tanner Rutledge, now writing under T.A. Rutledge. So we are going to do a quick update and just talk about a couple of things that I've learned going through this second draft and just kind of do a check-in. We're going to get rolling again with, I'll say, semi-regular episodes. I don't want to say that there's going to be one every week or every other week. We'll definitely have an episode coming out every month where I do a check-in, let you guys know where I'm sitting with the haints, what project that I'm working on currently, and the different lessons that I've learned and things that I've run across and resources basically that have helped me grow as a writer and to grow in the craft. So getting started, it's been a while since I've been on here, so let's just check in. Professionally, things got crazy after COVID. So I ended up going back into private investigation work and restarting my business and working to get that to a place where I could step back into writing. Something that I've talked about before on the podcast, I think, is that it is very, very difficult for me to write and to dedicate time to writing when I am working as an investigator. I've heard people say that there are different jobs that take on, I guess, the same type of creative energy, or that are just so draining and time-consuming that it makes it very difficult to write. And for me, private investigations is what does it. So when I'm out there, it is physically, mentally, and emotionally draining, and I just don't have anything left to write. So I haven't, in the past few months, really been able to sit down and do much. But now I'm in a place where we're moving away from that. I'm in the field a lot less, so I am sitting back down and I'm actually getting to write and getting some work done. I am, again, working as a personal trainer and am looking to move into a sales role that I've talked about before. It's very important, especially if you want to be an indie author. You have to have a day job that levels you, but you also have to have a day job that pays you enough to be able to properly publish these books. And these stories, which means being able to afford professional editing and being able to afford printing for getting a book out. Right now, with a plan to go through Kindle Direct Publishing, I'm looking at right around $4,000 to get the haint done the way that I want it to. That's professional cover design. That's professional editors with experience at larger publishing companies that are now freelance. And running this through my label, Scare Bear Books, which is part of a larger company that's coming together. So if you are going the indie author route, you're going to need a pretty good day job. For me, I like to talk. I have a podcast, and I like to connect with people. So sales is a good way for me to go with that. Commissions and being in control of, I need to make this much money by this date, and being able to just go in and blast it out and network and talk to people and close deals. That is something that's very attractive to me. Maybe you're a programmer. Maybe you like to write and you want to do some technical writing. I currently have a side gig going where I'm a technical writer for a fitness app. Basically, I write workouts. I'm certified as a personal trainer and have been for 5 years in weight loss and helping people deal with body composition changes. So I write workouts, and then I write detailed instructions on how the animations in the app should look when they are doing the demo videos for people that are going through the workout. So it's kind of a blend of technical writing and personal training or fitness programming, which has been great. And there's enough income there to be able to afford what I need and then also what I want to do. So there are options. I know a lot of guys work third shift jobs. I did that for a long time, working third shift to have some time to write and do other things, and those jobs tend to pay a little bit more. But just make sure that you have a good source of income so that you can put what you need to into your books without taking away from your life and away from your family. Anyway, getting back on track, because I've talked about that before. My professional life has settled down to a point where I can write. And I am going through currently the second draft of The Haint, and I am toward the end of the second draft. I'm going to do a third draft to really tighten it up. I made some major changes to the story because reading through it, I didn't like the flow. And when I originally started writing The Haint, it was to learn how to write a novel, to learn how to weave subplots. And it was going to be a smaller, more intimate haunted house story with a small cast, and basically just something where I could learn the basics and expand on it, because I have an idea for a larger novel that that will be a lot of fun, but I needed to learn the basics on a similar a simpler project first. So that's why I started doing The Haint. And it ended up growing into a larger story with a bigger mythos that was more like what my next story is getting into. And I was like, oh my God, okay, well, I can do this somehow, but it took over that story. So in the second draft, my second draft has been whittling that out and turning The Haint back into what it was originally supposed to be in its first incarnation as House of Bones, which is a small, intimate haunted house story about a family that is dealing with a tremendous loss and grief. And since we got back to the roots, I had a lot of trouble going through The Haint with the character development, especially with my leading character, in getting him to open up and feel things, because this is he's a private investigator, a very, very similar background to me. There's some stuff in here that's a little autobiographical. I try not to get too deep into that, but I wanted him to feel more, and I had a hard time getting him to connect to this, because taking him straight out of cases that are going before courts and the logical thinking that is needed for a good investigator, and putting him into a place where there is this massive, I guess it is a type of cosmic horror, but something much larger than I think he should be dealing with on his first case, especially since I want to turn this into a series with my three lead characters. So I figure we'll dial this back down to the haunted house book that it was supposed to be. And when I go through and I do the third revision, which shouldn't take very long because the outline is cemented, the story flow is there. It's just going through and tightening it and making it better, making it pop, and getting it ready for my beta readers. So it'll go out to the beta readers, come back. I'll do a fourth revision before and getting it as tight as I can before it goes out to an actual developmental editor to tell me what I missed, because chances are I missed something. As writers, and there's some guys that do an okay job of editing their own work, short stories, novels, novellas, novelettes, whatever they're writing, they do a pretty good job of self-editing. But when you, I heard this on another podcast, when you put on your editor's hat, you're still an author. So your editor hat and your author hat are still there. Everyone has different issues in their technique. Everyone has something that they need to work on, and those problems with style or technique are still going to be there in the edit. And that's why you need a couple of different people to look it over. So I'm going through with a developmental editor to make sure that the story is awesome and tight and good to go. I don't know how many rounds this first novel is going to go through with developmental. And then it'll be off to a copy and a line editor just to go over my prose and see if there's any way to tighten up my style, my voice. And then it goes off to proofreading. And the proofreader will go through it and tell me all the words that I've misspelled and the crap grammar that I've used. I'll do those final revisions and then shoot it off to a formatter, and then it will be ready for publication as soon as the cover art is done. So I wanted to get The Haint out for fall this year. That's probably not going to make it, but I am still looking at having it out, hopefully, by the end of winter. So The Haint will be coming out. And then the next book, this process of writing this first book has really, really helped me tighten things. So I have an idea of how I tell stories now in long form. And I have this idea of what I need to do when I'm going through to flesh out the outline. I've also learned that I do write better and I stay focused more if I have a tight outline. And I am writing to certain things that I know happen in that scene and then go back on the revisions and help with the flow so it's not robotic. So that is something that I've learned about myself that will definitely tighten up the process on the next book. When I run into roadblocks, when I'm doing the revisions now on the Haint, I just kind of circle back and I start on that next project where I'm doing some of the character development and I'm writing the character sheets and doing all the background stuff so that once this is finished or well, once this gets off to the editors, I can sit down and start on that. So that is how I'm organizing my writing. With work being so crazy, getting back into and sitting down to write has been a challenge. Something that I've been doing is even if it's 100 words at a time, this morning we had people coming over. So I set the laptop up in the kitchen, and even with everything going on around me, I wrote a good 300 words in about 15 minutes. I set it up. I got another 100 words out while I was running back and forth and cooking breakfast. So I am I'm getting a bit more into just pushing writing into where it needs to fit in the day to get the words in. And then if there's something that I don't like, I can always go back and fix it in revision. And that's what I'm telling myself. If I write a scene and I'm just like, I don't know about this, I'll put a little note in the notes section or the margin on Scrivener, and I'll go back and I'll deal with it in revision. Which it looks like my second revision is actually a bit longer of a process than writing the first one because I've been doing that in this story. But the words are getting down. And it is, it's moving forward. The thing with writing, especially writing a long project, is just to keep it moving forward and to get used to writing every day is what I'm doing now. It might not be 1,000 words a day, but I'm getting words down and I'm getting my story moved forward every single day. Some writers that I talked to have had an issue with that. I had a huge issue with that for the last 6 months, especially with, getting my PI agency back up on its feet and going. That was a 80, 90 hour a week venture. So there was not a lot of writing during that period. To make up for that, because I do have a lot of short stories and some ideas and prompts that I came up with and put down in a notebook, I decided to do the story a week challenge for the next year. So starting next week, which is the week of September 1st, every single week, I'm going to write the first draft of a new short story on top of the book that I'm writing. So that's going to force me to really get down and dirty and make sure that I am concentrating on word count again and that I am prioritizing writing, whether I'm doing it, staying up late at night to finish that, or if I'm getting up earlier in the morning before my sessions start and before meetings start to do that. I'm getting my words in. So I'm going to be shooting for revision-wise 2 chapters a week to get this thing finished up in the next month or so. And story-wise, writing 1 short story between 1,000 and 8,000 words a week in a first draft. I've always had more luck with short stories than finishing novels. I've always enjoyed short form. So this will be a fun project to knock one of these out a week. I know it's going to get tough. A lot of writers have done this challenge. A lot of writers have not finished this challenge. But for accountability and to stay on this, and if you are struggling with getting your word count, if you want to join in on something and just have some fun, I started a Facebook group. It is a hidden group. There's 4 of us going, 5 of us going in the group right now. And we are all starting next week writing 1 short story a week for the next year. 1,000 to 8,000 words. So a good solid beginning, middle, and end. If you are interested in that, head over to Facebook, find the Writing Fright page, and shoot me a message, and I'll make sure to get an invite to that group sent to you. All right. So until next time, keep writing. keep riding dark. We'll be right back.